Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I'm joined by the 2024-2025 National FFA President, Thaddeus Bergschneider. Thad, if you'd like to introduce yourself, please go ahead.
Hey Carson, glad to be on with you today. Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Franklin, Illinois, originally, so a little small town of 500 people, 30 minutes southwest of Springfield. So, I mean, no stoplights, not really a single restaurant. And there I grew up, went to Franklin High School, grew up with my six siblings on the family farm where we raised corn, soybeans, and cattle. And then on my way into FFA in high school, I obviously found my love and my passion. And that journey has taken me through chapter office, through state office, and through national office to talking to you here today. So I know we'll dive into that a little bit later, but always been raised in a small little rural part of Illinois and with a big family.
Awesome. So you just named off like a bunch of stuff, like position wise that you've been able to hold in FFA. So would you want to walk through what your FFA journey has looked like over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was going into freshman year, about to pick my class to just figure out if I'm going to do an ag class, what I was going to do, I actually tried to work up the courage to tell my dad, hey, I don't think I'm going to join an ag class. I don't think FFA is what I want to do. Like, my plan isn't to come back and farm, so I feel like I should do something else. And fortunately for me, he said, no, absolutely not. And he made me take an ag class anyway. So I'm in ag class all of a sudden, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm passionate about, what I want to do. And then my ag teacher, Brent Nelson, makes me do the FFA creed. I still remember him making me perform it in front of the class for the first time. And even though I had it memorized, I didn't want to give it in front of the whole class, but he made me do it. So I did. And then all of a sudden, I found my love in creed speaking that then became extemporaneous public speaking. I found my love for ag sales and having great teams alongside me that went to state for Illinois. And then eventually, you know, my junior, senior year of high school, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm trying to figure out if I want to spend the time to continue FFA leadership past just the chapter level, if that makes sense, you know, to invest that time in going outside of my chapter. And for me, it was just a combination of loving to talk to people and loving to learn more than just talk, loving to learn more about other people, their stories, where they're from, and then just kind of having that push, just like I needed to join FFA in the first place from my dad and from my advisor to continue on. So all that to say, I've been pushed by great people, and then I've just continued to follow those steps that have been in front of me.
Yeah, and then one of those steps that you ultimately were able to take was to serve as the Illinois FFA state president. Would you want to talk about your year of service to Illinois FFA?
Yeah, so Illinois is a little bit of a different system than Tennessee or any other state that's listening. We're a gap year state. So when I was elected as a state officer in June, I then emailed Purdue, who I was actually committed to at the time, that, hey, I can't come anymore. You know, a little bit more lengthy than that, but that was the gist of it. And then I dedicated myself to a year of service following that. So throughout my time at the state fair, going out to Corn Congress, going out to Summit in Washington, D.C., and then my favorite part of my year as an Illinois state officer is we do 6 weeks of chapter visits. And for those 6 weeks, you are completely on the road and you're staying with the section president in the area at their house, living with their family. And during those weeks of visits, you go see 12 to 15 chapters, sometimes two or three a day with, you know, a leadership training school or a banquet at night. And through those 6 weeks, I just made so many close friends, made so many memories. I made so many, you know, families. It almost felt like, you know, apart from my own, but just staying in someone's house for that long, you get to feel like you're a part of their family. And that was the favorite part of my year for me. And then, you know, the year continued and we had our conferences, Ground Zeroes. And then the spring, we got into a lot of convention prep. And then all of a sudden, before I knew it, retirement came around.
Yeah, y'all, that definitely sounds like it was a year packed full of things for you guys. And, you know, you eventually did retire to that and move on to national office. So what was one thing that really encouraged you to run for national office this past year?
Yeah, so I apologize, Carson, for kind of, I don't know, not giving you the best transition there. So during state office, I had to decide whether I was going to run for national or office or not in May. And our convention is in June. So that it kind of just is a little bit tricky, right? Because you haven't finished your year of state office, but you're trying to decide, do I want to commit to possibly another year of service? Well, I'm also, you know, stressed about getting my convention script and my retiring address finished. And in that decision, I waited pretty close up to the deadline, just trying to figure out if I was going to take that step or not and whether I was going to run. But the two things that motivated me to do that was I questioned whether I belonged in FFA or not. And I'm from a farm, corn, soybeans, cattle. I questioned whether FFA was where I needed to be. So I feel like it's imperative upon me that I go try to share the message that FFA is for everyone, that there is a place and an opportunity for all, because I almost missed that. And I can't imagine how different my life would be if I did. So why not run and see if I can use this position to share that message with others? And then two, I feel like with leadership in FFA and with leadership at all levels, we continue to need like vulnerable, transparent leaders. And, you know, we all have our own personal struggles. And one of the hardest journeys in my life has been figuring out how, when, to share those struggles with others and being able to bond through those struggles. So that was the second motivation for running, was wanting to be a vulnerable leader, wanting to be someone who can share their struggles so other people can see that, yeah, I can make it through too. So belonging, vulnerability, those were my original two reasons for deciding, yep, I'm going to sign those papers and I'm going to decide to run for national office.
And thankfully you made that decision, because, I mean, later on in October, you were selected, and I know that was a very rigorous process for you guys compared to what, you know, people see at the regional levels or state levels or district levels. Would you want to walk through what that process was like to get elected?
Yeah. So coming off stage in June at Illinois Convention, my prep in some ways started then. You know, I took a week off with my family, but it was time to prepare for the rounds and get ready for what National Convention would demand of me. So for me, that process looked like checking in with my mentors, Miriam and Gracie, every weekend, doing practice one-on-one interviews, doing practice group interviews, going to a couple schools close to the University of Illinois where I could refresh myself on facilitation, making sure that my ag knowledge was up to date and I was trying to, you know, talk to someone who had a new topic, a new idea, a new look at things, a new perspective. And so lots of practice, lots of collecting information. But I think the part that still sticks in my mind from that process of preparation was learning how to be a better storyteller. I had a Google Doc where I just put down stories of my life, stories that showed me in this situation, me in that situation, stories that showed me at my worst and stories that showed me hopefully at my best. And when I was trying to prepare for these interviews, the thing that I kept struggling with was like, how do you put yourself into like a, I don't know, 10-minute interaction with somebody, you know, like, as I ask you that question, Carson, I know you're preparing for regional office. I mean, isn't that a challenge, right? To try to describe yourself in such a short amount of time. And the best way that I found to be able to do that, and the best way we can do that, is through stories. And so honing those stories of trying to show others and show whoever it was, a practice phone call or a NOMCOM member, who I am and who I would be as a national officer, was the toughest part. But I think that's the most valuable prep.
Yeah, and then that day that y'all were able to hear who the new team would be, your name was the last one to be called. And what was going through your mind when you did hear your name, like, being called as national president?
Yeah, I mean, that week there had been so much going through my mind, right? I came out of my first interview and I like went and laid on my hotel room bed and was like, well, there it went. That was awful. Like, I can't believe I spent that much time to prepare and then I just absolutely flubbed it. So like, nerves. And when I say nerves, like nerves, total fear, literally shaking in my boots throughout that convention season, that convention time. And then to stand there, to be proud, to be very proud of the work I'd put in and the end result, no matter what it was something that I knew in my heart. But when I heard my name called, it was just total joy and total fulfillment in the work that I'd put in the FFA career that I've been able to live. and then just an immense amount of pride in the people around me that have helped me get there.
Yeah, and then as soon as you heard your name called, y'all's year of service instantly began, you and your five teammates. So that y'all's year of service so far has been jam-packed with so many things from just the looks of it. And one of those things actually is a trip to Japan that you guys took. Would you want to talk about that trip and share it with whoever's listening to this?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I have never traveled outside of, I went to a Washington, D.C. trip when I was a section president. I mean, I'd driven out to Colorado with my family. But all this to say, you know, my comfort zone of travel was within the United States and not that large of a radius, right? And then all of a sudden, you're going to Japan as a national officer. And it was the most rewarding, eye-opening experience. We got to meet with the Future Farmers of Japan, who, I mean, before the trip, I didn't know that there was a Future Farmers of Japan, a sister organization, but it originated after World War II when Japan needed to get their economy and the agricultural industry back on its feet. So they decided to copy that restoration after the U.S. and our agricultural education program. So just to meet those members at two of their chapters was incredible. And then working through those language barriers to still connect and see what life looks like for them. I'll just give you an example real quick. There was a member named Junichiro-san, and he was the chapter president for Konin Agricultural High School, and he wants to be an ag teacher. And I got to talk to him a little bit about why, and he just pointed to his ag teacher and saying, he is the example for me. And just seeing that similarity to the exact same thing happening back home and seeing how ag education still powers lives, it was so rewarding.
Yeah, and just continuously after that, y'all's year of service is continuously going, and y'all are doing so many things. And another thing, I know you're right in the middle of state convention season, and that's a really busy time for y'all. So would you want to talk about a few of the ones that you've been through or been to so far this year?
Yeah, so I've been to Utah, I've been to Tennessee, and I've been to Massachusetts. And I mean, obviously so different between the three, right? As you would expect, and being in so very different places. I mean, at Utah, we had 2,000 FFA members packed into the Utah State Basketball Arena. At Tennessee, I think 4,000-ish is maybe the right number, packed into the Gatlinburg Convention Center. And then in Massachusetts, there was 450 members in the Sheraton Hotel, the conference center, where there was a whole bunch of contests. And then we were in a ballroom together, and you really just had this more casual, you know, environment with being fewer people than maybe I'm used to when I think of Illinois Convention or Tennessee Convention. And at each of those conventions, there's different things that I just loved. Like in Massachusetts, this informal environment that I'm talking about, I loved it because those chapters that I met the first 2 days, like Greater Lawrence, the Minutemen, I just got to see them throughout convention and sit on hotel couches and chat about what their home is like, play chess for fun. Like those things that might not be able to happen at, you know, a pre-session in Tennessee where we're all like dancing and running to our seats and it's going crazy and the music is super loud. But, you know, in Tennessee, we get to dance together and have fun and embrace that energy. And then in Utah, I get to hear a lot about a culture and a faith that is different from my own. You know, the Mormon faith is really interesting when it comes to a lot of their members giving up 2 years of their lives in service to the church. And some members even talk to me about postponing their 2 years of service because they're now going to compete at national convention. And so just hearing those stories about them just placing FFA as such a valuable thing in their lives, even above, at least for, you know, a 6 month delay, a year of service and a faith that is also so important to them. So all that to say, very different, but there's so many powerful and impactful things in each.
Yeah, to hone in a little bit on Tennessee's, this was my third year, and obviously it was probably the best one that I've ever had the opportunity to go to.
Well, you were busy too, you know.
Yeah, very. Yeah, there was no breathing room this year, but next year will be probably 10 times worse with running for state office. But it was definitely a fun week. What was some of, like, just your favorite things about attending state convention in Tennessee? Because from what I understand, this wasn't your first trip down there.
Yeah, so I came as an Illinois state officer. We always come in to see what a convention looks like before we do ours. So I was familiar with it. I'd done a workshop before, And honestly, one of my favorite things was a few students who had seen me at my workshop a year before came up to me and showed me their cards that they had filled out in our workshop a year ago, showed me the picture that we had taken together, and then we got another one. So just to see that moment come full circle was really, really rewarding. And then outside of that, I really enjoyed hanging out with the state officer candidates as they were in the holding room ahead of the process. I came in a day early, so I literally just sat down with them and played music for them on my speaker that I brought. So just to get to hang out with them and know them a little bit better as they were going through that process was great. And now I can't wait to work with them for the next year. And then, of course, just sitting out in the convention hall, like the amount of great conversations I had, just, you know, going and sitting by someone I haven't met before and catching up was, those are always my favorite.
Yeah, Tennessee's is just something. I would love to be able to go to these other ones, but like just looking at the way that Tennessee does everything, I'm very biased when it comes to it, but that's besides the point. But it was really good to have you there, especially because whenever we've never told anybody this, like the nominating committee was, but whenever Miss Chelsea Rose, our past executive director for the Tennessee FFA Foundation, walked out there and she said, "Oh, we've got somebody out here wanting to do a practice interview." Well, to come in and talk. We didn't. Apparently, she had told you that we weren't going to ask you questions or anything. But whenever she told us that, I was like, "I wonder who she's talking about." And just walk in the door, and I'm like, "Well, I guess we got to get a little, you know." And I can tell you, all 12 of us were sitting there like about to fall out of our chairs with how good that answer was to that ag issues question.
Well, I appreciate it because I was thinking back on my answers like, yeah, and I'm always this person like, I could have phrased it this way or that way, or I could have done this and said, did you really go with the poem? But I was glad Miss Rose brought me in because y'all really do have an amazing process. I mean, the strength of your NomCom, obviously, and you being on it, and then just having your commissioner of education in ag, I mean, man, I have not heard of another state who is able to do that. So just truly impressive, truly top notch.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for both of them. Like, they're both great people too. Commissioner Hatcher, Commissioner Reynolds. The first day that we started the process, I walk in the door and I read like the layout of the seating area and I realize that Commissioner Hatcher was on one side of me and Commissioner Reynolds was on the other. And I'm like, well, this is about
you're boxed in.
Yeah, it was a little bit scary. Like, I didn't want to make any sudden moves or like do anything to like, but it's definitely a great connection here in the state of Tennessee. And it's something that I'm really excited to see continue to grow. But
And that was no 30-minute meeting for you either. I mean, you were in a room with them, sitting by him for days,
something hours. Yeah,
and it's like, don't slip up or do something stupid. I'd be on my toes the whole time, nerve-wracking. Yeah.
But we definitely convinced them to come do the Cotton Eye Joe with the state officer candidates. We take some credit for that. But it was definitely a fun week, and getting to talk with some of the candidates over the past few days, they really enjoyed having you in there as well. So definitely excited. So I know you have a good bit of time left for your year of service, rather. So could you like pinpoint a few things that you're really looking forward to with the rest of your year?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the rest of our conventions that I have. I'm going to be in Missouri coming up very soon. I'll get to go back home to Illinois, and then Washington is one of the ones that I have in May coming up a little bit soon. So that, and then visiting more chapters. I'm going out to America Falls, Idaho to spend some time there. And I honestly forgot about that until I was just, you know, going through my schedule for the next month. And like, I'm so excited to go out there. We have a great National FFA board member, an ag teacher who's out there, and he invests a lot in his program. And I'm excited to go be a part in that. So conventions, chapter visits, man, I don't think there's anything on the schedule that I'm not excited for. So I'll just keep it to those chapter visits, those conventions, and then State Officer Summit. Looking a little bit ahead is a time where I'm really excited to see just all of our leaders across the country come together and enjoy that time together. So there's a lot of things I could say, but I'll be short and give you those three.
Yeah, when we were assembling I feel like I'm like talking like assembling the Avengers, doing this, doing that. But like when we were assembling that state officer team that Wednesday morning, it was just something that is in each and every one of them that I think y'all are going to have a great group up there. And just seeing all the other ones get selected around the country, it's really exciting to see the future of our organization. I'm going to go a little bit off script here, if that's fine with you.
Totally fine. Whatever's on your mind.
I know you've mentioned school-wise what you've done, and I believe we briefly talked about it a little at state convention, but would you want to share, like, what you're doing in school and, like, what you're majoring in and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and my major is finance and agribusiness. So I love the agriculture industry, obviously, and want to stay there for the rest of my life. But, you know, finding that niche, finding that spot I really want to work is, you know, still up in the air. So I think the class that I guess intrigued me the most while I was at school was microeconomics. If I can tell you a little bit about how my brain works, I've always loved business strategy. So just seeing what else I can do to develop in that realm is front of mind for me. And then the second thing that I haven't expected is, you know, I've never had being an ag teacher on my radar, and I still don't think that's where I'm moving for the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. But I got to say, I find so much fulfillment in teaching and seeing other people like come to their full potential and be pushed to try things. And so I don't know whether that's a minor or whether that's just something that's on my mind. I can see that possibly happening in the future as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big thing for everybody in like FFA right now, especially me. Like I'm about as lost as a duck when it comes to trying to figure out majors, minors, all this kind of stuff for not this upcoming fall, but the fall after. But it's looking pretty good about possibly being an ag educator in the future, but it'll probably change in about 3 weeks. So I have one more question, and this is always one that I love to ask at the end of an episode, because I just know an FFA member is getting, or maybe just a student is going to hear this, and this may be the reason they actually, you know, get involved and start doing stuff in our organization. So the last question that I wanted to ask you today was, what is one piece of advice that you would give to an FFA member that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
Yeah, it's going to be real simple, and it's just to take the shot and try something. I look back at my FFA career, and I'm like, man, what if I hadn't tried ag sales, or what if I hadn't done the creed? What if I hadn't done extemp? I would have missed so much. I would have missed the relationship with my teammates. I would have missed developing as a person and as a leader. And then also looking back, I'm like, man, I should have tried more things. Like, I should have started up an agri-science project. I should have went out and tried prepared, because even though I loved extemp, like, why not see if I would have liked prepared even more? So just take a shot, because you're never going to know if you like something, if you love something, if you're meant to do something, unless you try it. So take the shot, try it.
Speaking of taking the shot, are you giving that keynote thing at every single state convention you're going to?
I am, yeah.
Okay, well, if anybody's listening to this and Thad's coming to your state convention, be there. You don't want to miss that. Yeah, you do not want to miss that. So it has been like a really big honor to have you on today. Do you have any closings before we wrap up this episode?
If you've made it this far, just thank you for listening. Whether it's reaching out by email or Instagram DM to me, you know, I am always open to hearing just what you're doing in your FFA career and if there's any questions you ever have. So shoot me an email, send me an Instagram DM, and I'd love to hear all about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. Like I said, I really enjoyed having you on today. And yeah, so that's all that I've got for this episode, y'all. Thank y'all for listening, and I will hopefully see y'all back next week.